morning to all the listeners of the broadcast. I'm so happy to be coming your way again with the short gospel message. To begin with, I'd like to share with you this scripture in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 1. Now, no doubt this is a verse or several verses which you may have heard many, many times in your life. I don't know. But listen, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now, it doesn't matter how many times we've heard this scripture before or how much we've thought about it, it's so appropriate to our time and the age in which we live. Surely we ought to keep these verses constantly before us, time after time. Now, when we look about us and we see such corruption in high places, political pressures, shortages, and even take, for instance, the gas shortage, we wonder, who's to blame for it? Is it the gas companies? Is it the government? Is it the energy department? Is it a foreign government? Is it real or is it contrived? Is there anything to it or is it a make-believe? And so we wonder about this and we wonder about that, you know, and wonder what's going to be the outcome. In fact, I've wondered for a long time how we could keep making automobiles, just thousands of them every month coming out of Michigan, Detroit, or wherever, and just hundreds of them, new ones on the road every month. Well, I don't know how we're going to keep feeding those things or giving them gasoline to drink when the highways are just crowded. Looks to me like there comes a saturation point somewhere. Or maybe I shouldn't say saturation. Maybe it's a point of drying up the source of supply. But anyway, be that as it may, I think the Lord's going to take care of his children. He's going to provide us enough to get by with while we're here. We may have to go back to some of the primitive ways of living. But friends, these verses here that I have read to you speak about things more important than some of these material things of life. I'll tell you another thing that there's a shortage of, and that's of real godly saints and believers in the world today. We hear people talk about born-again Christian. That sounds good. That is good if it's real. But then again, we wonder, is it real or is it just a fake? Is it something to pretend that they're serving the Lord in reality and heart? They're not really living for God. And so some of these things make us wonder. But you may be assured of this one thing, that we're certainly approaching the last days of time. Notice what the apostle said here again. And down in verses 12 and 13, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So that tells me that there are a few people, a righteous people, who are still living godly and who are still suffering persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so we have it there, that folks will just get into this place where there's corruption all the way from, in the professed world of Christianity to the political world. And so, regardless of how many times we may have heard that, we ought to be aware that surely the coming of the Lord draweth near. Listen to another scripture here in Luke 21 and 34. Jesus speaking here, he says, and take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And so it seems that we're living in a sleepy time, a careless time. One where deceit is abounding and wickedness is so great and professors are so many, and yet there are so few that have the real heartfelt salvation right down in their heart. And so Jesus warned about this time that was coming. Now, there seems to be a parallel. Jesus speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem and also the end of the world. Some things seem to be common to both ages. Professors and people being careless. And Jesus spoke about the coming of the Lord, that it would be as it was in the days of Noah. They eat, they drank, they married wives, they bought, they sold, they planted, they went right on with their regular affairs of life. And so... Those times would come upon folks unaware, and they wouldn't be prepared for it. Thinking about this parallel here, again, notice the scripture in Matthew 24 and beginning with verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Don't you notice it that way today, dear friends, that so many who were once zealous for the Lord and they were anxious in serving the Lord, they've grown careless? Why? Because iniquity abounds. So much abounding in the world, so many attractions, so many pleasures to lead folks away from the truth. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, just as this was true in the destruction of Jerusalem, We find these parallels existing in regard to the coming of the Lord. If folks will be true right on up to the end and really serve God as they should, they'll not be sleeping, but the Lord will give them a reward when he comes to make up his jewels. Notice a scripture here in Jeremiah, this time going way back to Jeremiah. The 12th chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, and so on. But now, the thought here is about running this race contending with the horses. Now, you know, folks talk about, and the great persecution, what it's going to be like, and they speak about Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon. Friends, do you know that that's symbolic language? And it's spiritual warfare. It's not talking about horses that go out to battle, read there in Revelation about the horses and all this sort of thing, or in some of the prophecies, and these things are spiritual. We are now in this battle, if you please, of Armageddon, and I look for it to get worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse right on up to the coming of the Lord. So we're in this battle between right and wrong. And if we cannot stand for the truth now, what are we going to do when it gets worse? If we've run with the footmen and they weird us, what are we going to do when we contend with the horses, so to speak? Again, a spiritual symbolic language. Listen, footmen and horses. You weary, you say, with the routine, with doing your duties small. You long to be off with the warriors, to go at the battle's call. 'Tis well that you wish to be useful. But consider this, my friend, you weary while running with footmen, could you with the horses contend? The master, I know, calls for warriors to stand at the battle's front, but have you the strength, my dear brother, to stand its fiercest brunt? The master has great need of soldiers, but a soldier must be true, And how could you run with the horses when footmen have wearied you? The master allotting each portion to you the sheltered place. Your battles are few and unnoticed, seemingly out of the race. You chaff for the din of the battle, forgetting how true ones are tried. You feign when your feet touch the waters, could you stem the Jordan's tide? Listen, people speak about martyrs, but who knows what we may be called to face before this spiritual battle is over. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Your murmuring show you your weakness, your need of God's strengthening grace. The footman who weakens or wavers is soon left out of the race. You may have the strength of the warrior for the duties of every day and ride on the breast of the Jordan, if only you fight by the way. Sigh not for the swift-running horses when footmen have left you behind. If you shrink from the still, shallow water, small strength for the Jordan you'll find. Gird on the whole armor. Be sober. Trust Jesus alone for your grace. Let Him hear no more of your sighing. Be content with the humblest place. Our Father, bless each one in the place that You've called us to fulfill. Bless each listener of the broadcast. Encourage every heart to be strong in the battle in which You place us to stand for the right amid so much confusion in the world. Bless each listener now in the way which they need this day, and we'll surely give You the praise and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And so, friends, I say thank you for a few moments of your time. May the Lord help us, everyone, to be faithful in the place that He's given us. Then, when the greater battles come, the greater trials, the bigger problems, we will have been faithful in the small things, and the Lord will entrust to us the greater things of life. May each one of you be faithful until the Lord calls you home. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.